Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Ontex's third quarter 2017 results conference call. This call is being recorded. Today's call will be hosted by Mr. Jacques Pernod, Chief Financial Officer. Following the presentation, an interactive question and answer session will be available. Copies of today's announcement and presentation are available on www.ontexglobal.com. I would like to remind everyone that the safe harbor statements apply to this presentation and to the subsequent question and answer session. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. Jacques Pernod. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for attending our quarter three 2017 results conference call. I will make some brief remarks on our trading performance in the third quarter, which was published earlier today, before taking your questions, when I will be joined by our COO, Thierry Navarre. We could start and go to slide number five. I'd like to start with three main points on revenue, margin, and solid balance sheet. First of all, I'm pleased to see we delivered another excellent quarter of revenue growth. Revenues in quarter three of just over 592 million were 16% higher on a reported basis, including the contribution, obviously, from Ontex Brasil, which we acquired in March. On a like-for-like basis, revenue was strongly ahead at +4.3%, significantly outperforming our markets. Importantly, this performance was broad-based, with positive contributions from all three categories, as well as four of our five divisions. Adjusted EBITDA increased almost 8% to more than 68 million in Q3. Similar to the first half of 2017, in Q3, we continued to benefit from positive impacts of the strong top line, as well as, and that's usual, efficiency and saving gains in challenging market conditions. This basically offset higher commodity raw materials cost and increased manufacturing and supply chain expenses linked to our strong revenue growth. However, and as we had indicated at the H1 results, Forex was volatile and ultimately became a headwind in quarter three, which together with Brazil, meant our margins were lower year-on-year. Looking at our balance sheet now, the net debt position at the end of September was 751 million, with a 2.73 times our last 12 months reported adjusted EBITDA, including 7 months contribution since our acquisition of Ontex Brasil. Due to the significant progress we made since the IPO in 2014, we are pleased to announce that our board approved a complete refinancing of our debt. This should be finalized before year-end and is expected to result in a reduction of net finance expenses of more than 7 million euro, so another important milestone in our journey. Now, I would ask you to turn to slide seven for some more details on the top line. Slide seven, group revenue. As you have heard from many consumer staples companies, market conditions in quarter three 2017 continued to be quite challenging, including lower growth and featuring pricing pressure in several geographies. In such an environment, we are very pleased to deliver another strong like-for-like revenue performance this quarter, which is materially ahead of the growth in our market based on third-party data. Consistent with the first 6 months of 2017, our like-for-like revenue growth was based on higher volume, demonstrating that we are serving more customers and consumers with our high quality and innovative products. Our largest divisions, Mature Market Retail, Americas Retail, and Healthcare, had another quarter of solid volume-led growth ahead of their respective markets. We also sold more volumes in developing markets in spite of high competitive intensity in markets like Turkey and Russia, where we are also addressing supply chain issues. The price and mix on revenue was negative in Q3, reflecting challenging market conditions. After a neutral effect for the first half of the year at group level, the Forex impact on revenue was negative €6 million in Q3. Of course, we also had the contribution from Ontex Brazil, which we acquired in March 17. Q3 was a tough quarter in Brazil, yet we also started to see some stabilization in our baby diaper market share. Importantly, we also had a good performance of our adulting co-activity, which is taking share in a growing category. So overall, in a very competitive environment, we had an excellent commercial performance, which gives us confidence that the action we have consistently been taking over the past few years will continue to lead to market outperformance. Before moving to margins, I'd like to provide first a short update on Ontex Brazil, and I'm going to ask you to move straight to the slide 14. If you remember, we reached agreement with Hipermarcas for their branded personal hygiene business on December 23rd last year to gain the leading position in adulting coat and a solid number 3 in baby diapers. In 16, so last year, the baby diaper category grew by 3.5%, whereas year to date, in 2017, we see that it has shown a decrease of category value down by 3.3%. So we are moving from plus 3.5 last year to minus 3.3 this year in the category, so in the market. This change of category value has been price-led, which we clearly see in mainstream diapers, with leading brands being very aggressive. You can also see in the lower chart how the share of what is now Ontex Brazil baby diapers has evolved, with a decline since the announcement until completion in March, when it was still being run by the former owners. Since then, the baby diaper market share decline has been stopped, and we have seen a stabilization of market share, albeit below the 2016 levels. So it's important that you can see this dynamic in market share decline, and then we have been able to stop this decline, and we even gaining some share. As we shared with you, Ontex Brazil was a carve-out. In our H1 communication, we updated you that our management team was complete, and they have acted to improve our competitiveness, and then since June. While we see this first sign of progress, this did not yet translate into our sell-in during quarter three as customers are reducing their inventories. Meanwhile, our adulting co-business continues to gain share in a growing category. Given the market evolution in baby diapers and the action required to defend our share, our margins have been impacted. In terms of synergies, and again as a reminder, the majority will come from manufacturing improvements linked to our CapEx program, which is fully on track. I would like to underline that we are very happy to be in Brazil, with our strong local brand position in adult incontinence and baby diapers. Being the world's fourth largest personal hygiene market, it is key to have strong position there for our presence in the Americas region. As we continue to implement our integration plan, including upgrading production facilities, we remain very confident to capture the opportunities and financial benefits for Ontex. Now, let's turn and let's go to the slide 15, this update on Brazil. Here we talk about the adjusted EBITDA margin. Adjusted EBITDA came at 68 million, nearly up by 8% compared to last year. As discussed in our H1 results, there were several factors, both positive and negative, impacting our margins in quarter two, which we now see translating in quarter three. We already said we were expecting these factors to continue in the second half of 2017. We announced in Q1 already that raw materials moved from being a tailwind last year to an important headwind in quarter two this year, and that H1, that we expected headwinds for the rest of 2017, which was confirmed in quarter three. It's important that what we saw coming, in fact, happened in quarter three, and we see it continuing also, by the way, in quarter four. Secondly, a side effect of growing revenues at such a strong rate is that we have some temporary increased pressure in our manufacturing and supply chain, which we obviously are addressing, but it will largely start to unwind when new capacity starts to come on stream, and it's going to be mainly in the second half of next year. We continue to benefit from our ongoing program of savings and efficiencies, which have delivered further improvements in quarter three, offsetting most of the elements I just mentioned, so that our base business remains largely on track. However, the Forex impact turned negative at group level in Q3, which was not the case in H1, knocking almost 30 basis points off our adjusted EBITDA margin. In Brazil, as I just mentioned, quarter three was an adverse quarter in the baby diaper, and it negatively impacted our group margins. It's also important to highlight that a bit against the trend in consumer staples, we continue to invest in our future with higher spending in sales and marketing capabilities. We expect these steps will underpin top-line outperformance going forward. As a result of all these puts and takes, adjusted EBITDA margin was 11.5%, down 88 basis points over comparable period of last year. Now let's go on slide 16. It's a slide about net debt, where you see net debt at 751 million, and which represent 2.7x our leverage. This includes, and important to keep in mind, almost 33 million of acquisition-related earn-outs. Now, time to say some word about outlook on slide 18. We expect to continue top-line outperformance in our markets in quarter four, led by category growth in adult incontinence, which will confirm this in total an annual run rate of 2.4 billion. Again, it's a run rate. We anticipate pressure in Brazil will continue, and that's important to keep in mind, which together with Forex and commodities headwinds, will put our quarter four margins slightly below quarter three. The actions we are taking to increase group-wide capacity of margin-accretive products as well as to further implement our integration plan in Brazil, are expected to start showing benefits during the second half of next year. Next to debt, and recognizing we have some challenges this year on margins, which we're working on, we also continue to improve in other areas which can deliver earnings growth. In net finance, I'm very pleased that we will complete the full refinancing of our debt by year end, which will lead to an important reduction of net finance costs for next year, and that's around 7 million before tax. Second, the effective tax rate, we will see there an improvement, and we should come around 23%, so it's better than what we have been expecting till now. Finally, on non-recurring, these charges look like they will pretty much balance in 17 with a number of puts and takes. So, while we are tackling the challenges, as we always have, on things like raw materials, competitive pricing, pressure, Forex, we're not standing still at all on other key items which support continued earnings growth for 2017 and beyond. With that, I'd like now to hand the call back to the operator, and we'll take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We do have our first question from Richard Withagen from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for the question. I have three on Brazil, please. First of all, you're mentioning some actions that you've done to improve your competitiveness and have started to show positive signs, especially for your market share. Can you elaborate a bit more on that? What are those actions you've taken? Did you adjust prices or did you do something in terms of channels or products? Then the second question is, can you give some more detail on how the integration plan in Brazil will look like over the next few quarters? And then lastly, if you take the sales from hypermarkets you communicated at the time of the acquisition and comparing it to the reported number today, I get to a like-for-like decline of 15 to 20%. Is that about right?
Okay, thank you for these questions. I think that most of them are more in the operational side, and I will hand over to my colleague Thierry, who is next to me. Before that, just very important for me is to remind everybody that we are very pleased to be in Brazil, and that our actions will bring us back on track for the midterm. So, Thierry?
Yep. Thank you, Jacques. Good morning, everybody. So, back on Brazil, it's clear that for us, and Jacques mentioned it, it's a slower pickup than what we did expected. In an environment where we did not anticipate it, that there was a shift, especially on the baby diapers, from growth to decline this year. It was a growth in 16, decline on 17. Nor we did not anticipate the extent of the aggressive reaction from the peers. So all that combined with the raw material input cost that is actually eating Brazil as well as the rest of the group is making the first month of the integrations tougher. So in terms of the actions over there, there are several areas which are being tackled. Some are pretty short term and some are medium and longer term. On the very short terms, there are mainly linked to the commercial areas. So things related around pricing, because there has been some pricing actions in the different categories of the business. there has been also a set of actions in boosting in-store execution. So we've increased the number of merchandisers, on the fields in order to work on the assortment's breadth and also the increase of the space that we have with our product on shelves. And this was linked also to strengthening the distributions that we have, which is pretty strong in some regions and lower in some others. So we're also pushing in extending distributions. And we have readapted the incentive of the sales teams related to those objectives. Parallel to that, we've got also a much stronger control which is being put in place in terms of the regional trade budgets, because there used to be practices in the past which were we believe not totally sustainable going forward, and that we're changing and putting some more strong control on the trade budget on one side, and also avoiding the push at the end of the month and the push at the end of the quarter with big discounts being given away to customers, which actually creating a lot of inefficiencies into the operations and on top required a huge amount of working capital. So these are, let's say, commercial practices which are being tackled on the short term. Medium to longer terms, and we are preparing it now, is the investment we're making into the business in terms of operations and R&D, which actually are more going to bring the value or impact the business positively more as from mid-18, because you need, you know, things to be first delivered and machines to be up and running. So that's on the main set of actions that we've there. On the integration plan, the other question on the integration plans and where we sit on that, actually, you know, we are on track with what we had set up as a plan for integration. In terms of organization, Jacques told you we were the setup of the organization and management team was in place in June, completed. Let's say, honestly, and to be fair, I believe and we believe that it was a little bit late on this one, and we could have done quicker on this, even if we knew it from the start, but this would have helped to get a quicker grip on the business if we could have been able to put people sooner, because remember, it's a carve-out, so we have not inherited from the management on that, so we needed to replace it. The machineries are already ordered and the equipment, and the we have also launched a few consumer and customer insight studies in order to fine-tune our offering going into the course of next year. And we're working also in parallel in terms of the, let's say, the carve-out plan, because this one is an important one, because we are taking a business. We're still partly depending technically from some back office and systems from hypermarkets, and we're working on that as well. So that's the second point. On the third point, which is on the like-for-like growth, you're spot on. Indeed, there is a huge decrease compared to the figures that hypermarkets were disclosing. And this is pretty much related to two factors. It's the one is the decrease on the market, which is really, really drastic compared to the growth of the market last year. You know, so when you point from a growth to a decrease, this has a squeeze effect on us. And the second thing is the element I touched on a little bit earlier, which is the normalization of the commercial practices that is for us fundamental going forward, because only relying on a selling push, which was the practice of hypermarkets and financing it heavily with discounts, is something that we believe is not the right way going forward. But as the trade has been loaded with a huge amount of inventory, before this is unwinding, without, let's say, impacting the business negatively, it takes time. And actually, it takes a little bit more time that we expect. I would say out of that, the positive news is when we see that the stabilization on one side of the baby market share, which means that in terms of the sales outs, we're not doing that bad. And on the other side, the pretty good performance of the incontinence category, where you remember we are the number one there, and we keep growing share with our product. And this is in a context, I just replace it in that context, where we've not touched the product yet. We've not yet improved it. We've not done anything specific on the product side, which is still to come. So that's why we position ourselves going forward in a positive way. There are a few challenges on the short terms that we are tackling very thoroughly.
Thank you, Thierry. Thank you. So maybe next question.
We will now take our next question from Ian Simpson from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. A couple of questions from me. Firstly, that's a pretty impressive growth rate in mature market retail, 6%, improving sequentially despite the tougher comp. Could you break that 6% down into price and volume, please? And it implies some pretty impressive share gain. What's driving that? Are you winning new tenders or are existing contracts outperforming or what are the moving parts? And then secondly, if we can just talk about the margin phasing. You say margin will be down in the fourth quarter versus the third quarter, and the action you're taking to improve margins takes effect from second half 18. So does that mean, all else being equal, you know, current input costs, current FX or whatever, first half 18 margins will likely be down on the third quarter 17 levels? Thanks very much.
Thank you. So we'll take your questions in sequence. I would say on the MMR sales, which is obviously a really great performance, I will ask Thierry maybe to comment on the component. One thing this is, and it's valid across the board, it's essentially a volume-led growth, and you're right, we're gaining share, and we're winning with the winners, by the way. This is one of the explanations. Now, maybe Thierry, some words on more detail on what's behind that, this great performance.
So, MRM, there's the... Definitely, we're very pleased with that performance, especially after, you remember, a year and a half ago, where we are going through some tough periods on the MMR. One of the things to start with is an important one is the underlying business, the market as such. The market as such in MMR is, let's say, slightly down on the baby and but flat on a femcare to slightly negative, and up on Inco. The dynamic is about the same as it used to be. It's just further down than it used to be. Saying that though, retailer brand is gaining share. And retailer brand is gaining share to a point where on the baby side, for example, it has become this year the leading, it has taken the leading positions in market share in MMR market. So in that context, being the leader by far, retailer brands, we are leading that growth for retailer brand share, and we are benefiting from that. As Jacques was mentioning, there is the volume. The growth is mainly volume driven. It's clear that we've got a huge pressure, like it is across the consumer staples on the pricing, and it has an impact on us. On the other side, and to put that into the global context, and it's not only valid for MMRM, I would say it's valid for our base business, if I put aside Brazil, is that our base business has been weathering these very tough conditions where we are in of higher input costs and higher pressure on the pricing, on a pretty good conditions, by offsetting that through innovations, through cost savings programs, and efficiency improvements, which actually compensating for this cost increase into our system, and we don't see a material degradation of the margins on this side of the business, which is quite comforting going forward because it gives a good sense of the resilience of our base business as such. So yes, it's volume driven, but then we are working a lot on our margins especially into MRM. We remember that MRM is more, we've got a margin power more than a pricing power there. So we are holding pretty well on that, thanks to all our actions.
Okay, thank you, Thierry. Clear. On margin, so what we see, obviously, I'm not going to give you a specific guidance on 18, but looking at where we are today, we don't see real reason to have material changes in the beginning of next year. The market conditions will still be challenging. Commodity prices are increasing in quarter four, which will impact obviously the beginning of next year clearly. Forex is very volatile. We have seen it again. We see that some of the currencies in which we do business are weakening, which is obviously not good. Next to that, we continue to work on our savings program. As Thierry mentioned, we have this savings program each and every year, and that allowed this year to offset the commodities and other issues. Obviously, we had this issue with Brazil. On other elements of our P&L, we continue to favor investments and growth in our sales, marketing, and R&D capabilities and costs in order to continue our transformation. So that's going to continue. So basically for next year, beginning of the year, no reason why we would be materially different in margin from the end of this year. What we will have is, as of mid of the year, second half, we will see the impact of several of our actions, be it in Brazil, actions also linked to investment. We will have several machines coming on stream, which will obviously release the pressure from manufacturing and supply chain. And we should, in the second half, see coming back to more classic margins, more typical margin on tax margins.
Very clear. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Farhan Beg from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Three questions from me, please. Could I come to your performance in the growth markets division? There was a significant sequential deceleration. Could you talk about the moving parts in Russia, the market growth rates, the competitive activity, and your growth as well. Secondly, did I correctly understand that you expect 2017 effective tax rate to be 23%, which would imply a much lower rate in the second half? And finally, on acquisitions, would you concur that the Brazilian acquisition and the transition of that has been more difficult than anticipated, and as a result, to reap the benefits in H2 2018, you might take a more cautious approach in pursuing further acquisitions in the near term, even though your balance sheet might allow you to do so? Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Maybe here to change a little bit, I will start answering the two last questions, and Thierry will comment on the growth market. By the way, on growth market, I mean, the performance is excellent. So it's maybe a little bit of deceleration, but it stays excellent with almost 10%, like for like. Effective tax rate, you're right, you heard it well. So I say 23% for 2017. And it's a result of our mix of businesses. By the way, also, we see, and next year we will see a positive impact from the different measures taken by the Belgian government also regarding our effective tax rate. So it's not something only for the short term. M&A, Brazil, yes, you're right. We see it being tougher than what we anticipated. We see an issue, as Thierry has explained, and as I said into the presentation, about the fact it's a carve-out, so a little bit more complex than a straight acquisition of a full business. So some delay, and obviously also some very tough actions from competition, what we have called a welcome pack, which was a little bit stronger than potentially what we had anticipated. Now, next to that, the integration of the business is going on as planned. We have the team in place, we have our CapEx program in place, and we have also our different measures which are starting to be implemented. IT is being carved out, all of that moving fine. What does it mean for the future and our acquisition plan? The big lesson I would take personally is a carve-out needs to be, let's say, tackled slightly differently than just a normal straight acquisition. So that's something to keep in mind for the future. We are always, obviously, very cautious when we do acquisition. You remember our three strategic criteria, plus the fact also the culture of the company needs to be aligned with ours, and the financials needs to add up. We still have our pipeline, which is rather interesting with several, let's say, opportunities, and we continue on our journey. So there is no change in the journey going both for external growth and obviously also our organic growth. So nothing really changed. And as you mentioned, our balance sheet is getting healthier and healthier, which can allow we have, let's say, dry powder allowing us to make acquisition. So journey continues. Thierry, maybe so, now on growth market.
Yeah, Charles. Jacques, sorry. Oh, sorry. on growth markets, it's clear that, and you've noticed it, there is a deceleration of the growth. Though there is still growth, and a growth which is substantial. On year-to-date, we are on 9.5%, which is not bad at all in such a market where actually we are on growth markets pretty heavily weighted on Russia and Western Europe, where we see the market dynamic changing in the last, let's say, few quarters, with actually accelerating in Q3, very high promotional activities for international brands, which actually I slowed down retail brand growth into Russia and Eastern Europe. We've noticed a reduction of the gap, price gap between international brands and also retail brands. And clearly, this aggressiveness has slowed down the growth rate there. Additionally to that, we are impacted in growth markets, especially Russia and CE, with the capacity constraints that Jacques was mentioning a few minutes ago. And our growth is just, we've got a break on our growth linked to that, which is being unlocked at the beginning of next year, I would say toward the mid of next year, for the Russia and CE part. Now, the other part of growth market, which is more like sub-Saharan Africa and the rest of the world, is actually growing very, very quickly and very fast, and taking a bigger share of the growth market divisions. It will be even accelerated now. You remember we inaugurated our new plant in Ethiopia a couple of months ago, and we are now producing locally and selling locally and accelerating our position in that country where we are the number one, and we are reinforcing this position by accelerating our growth. So what we see going forward is that Russia and CE will more be around the, let's say, single-digit, mid-single-digit type of growth, whereas the rest of the world and sub-Saharan Africa being in a very high double-digit growth, keeping growth markets in a very interesting growth patterns going forwards.
Thank you, Thierry. Clear.
Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Rosie Edwards from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to ask about the capacity constraints, because I'm slightly struggling to understand where they've arisen, in that it seems like, you know, the stronger top line has been predominantly in MMR, which by and large resulted from contract wins. So are these the sorts of things that you wouldn't be able to predict and therefore adjust your manufacturing capabilities accordingly so, or am I missing something?
Well, you're right on one thing, which is actually the growth is predominantly MMR-driven. On the other side, from a capacity point of view, the limitations is linked to product mix growth, over proportionally in product categories which actually were not anticipated to grow like that, not only by us, by the way, by the whole market, which are categories like baby pants or adult pull-up pants. You were experiencing their growth, which are more than double what we could have anticipated, and this is a clear shift into the market's dynamic. And there, and honestly, we've been caught by surprise, so there is a kind of a late reaction on this, that we are catching up pretty quickly with the investment plans that Jack was mentioning just before. So this is being this temporary being sold. It's not only generating a loss of sales, because we are really losing sales on that, which are interesting sales margin-wise. But on the other side, we're generating also extra cost into the system, because when you're operating under a huge capacity constraint in some product category, you generate inefficiencies in terms of your product planning, in terms of your inventories and distributions cost. And this is things that we are just digesting now and should be relieved when we have the capacity in place.
Yep.
Okay, and this is something that's impacting the retailer brands more. Is that right?
Well, it does impact retailer brands, but it's more broader than that, because if you look at the two categories I was mentioning to you, is actually across the different market where we are operating that you see these developments over proportional. But obviously, MRM being the biggest portion of the business, the issues is higher there, but actually growth market I was just commenting a minute ago in Russia is really suffering from that. Russia is one of the markets in the world where the baby pants is the most developed, in and where the growth of the baby pants has been the highest in the last 12 months, and they are suffering to that, but proportionally less than MMR when we look from a group positioning point of view.
Okay, thank you. And then just a couple of quick follow-ups on sort of tax and interest. In terms of the 23%, I think that was for 2017. Can you just give us an idea of what's driven that and whether that tax saving will be sustained?
Yes, so I'll take this one. So as I said, this is coming from a different mix of our different businesses. So the mix is impacting us favorably. And as I said also, it's sustainable because we will start also from next year on, and it's already a little bit this year, but mainly next year on, we're going to start benefiting from the measures announced by the Belgian government. And as you know, we are based in Belgium. So this is going in the right direction, I must say.
And then, sorry, finally, just on interest, you talked about the 7 million reduction.
Yeah.
Is that in, I think the run rate for the current year is expected to be around 40. Is that the right benchmark?
I would say yes, it's the right benchmark. On now talking about this refinancing, maybe some elements, some more details. What we will do this year in 17, thanks to the savings we do, we're going to be able to fully cover the cost of refinancing. You know, we are redeeming a bond, so it got some money. And then we are also working with banks, and they cost some money. And we able this year to completely absorb all these costs thanks to the upside we get in our interest. So this is very important. Second is that from next year on, we will have a recurring at least 7 million, probably more than 7 million, but let's say 7 before tax of improvement.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Eric Wilmer from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. You mentioned that the market environment remains particularly challenging in Turkey. I was wondering if you could shed some more light on this and to what extent this is this has to do with the new entrant, Enka Hüyen.
Okay.
New entrant? What were you saying at the end, sorry?
Yeah, the new entrant, Enka Hüyen. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but I think that's the correct name.
Okay, so we got it. So it's again, I think, a question more for Thierry.
Yeah, indeed, the Turkey baby market is the Turkey market in challenging for consumer growth in general. I would say in our sectors is the big challenge is on the Turkey baby category, where we see that. Whereas the category overall, volume-wise, is slightly increasing, it's actually decreasing in value, and the volume increase is essentially linked to the hard discounter, and specifically a very well-known one, which has more than 80% of the hard discount over there, which is BIM. And unfortunately, they are only dealing with their own brands that they are manufacturing for most of it themselves. So being the big one of the market, they represent about one-fourth of the market, and they are the only one growing, and they are doing their own production. It's putting the baby category within Turkey under a huge pressure for the rest. And the fight has been fueled on the rest of the business, of the business in baby, by new entrants, actually more the new entrants, local entrants, which are people which were producing on or located on the east side of Turkey, which were doing about 80% plus of their business on export, which actually, because of the regions being under a huge pressure from political and economical point of view, so namely Iraq, Syria, and so on, they are actually putting their product more into Turkey at very, very low pricing. And we don't want to enter in that. We've chosen, actually, like the two other top players, because we are the number three, and the two first one has done exactly the same as we've done. It says we don't enter into this price war, and the top three have been losing share, and we have been losing share in baby diapers on Turkey, less than the two others, which is the only consolation. But we've been losing a little bit of share. On the other side, we continue to hold on pretty good on incontinence, where we are by far the leader on the market, and we continue to gain share on incontinence. And incontinence is growing as a category into the market. So we are leading the growth of this category and overperforming the growth of the market there. So in terms of actions going forward, because it's important for us, Turkey is an important element of the MENA division, is that we continue and reinforce the focus on the Inco. We're looking at also reinforcing the innovations behind our baby diapers in order to really justify not entering into that price war. And like in other divisions, there's a big emphasis on cost control and saving programs acceleration. Putting Turkey in the context of the MENA divisions, Turkey is really pulling down the MENA, whereas MENA as a division is holding on thanks to the very good performance of the rest of the divisions, where with naming countries like Algeria or Pakistan, where we are growing very, very heavily in an healthy way. And this is offsetting the pressure on the Turkish side.
Thank you, okay. Thierry.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps a second question. Thanks for the very clear answer on my first. I was wondering whether the redemption of the senior secured bond could signal the end of reporting adjusted EBITDA margins on a quarterly basis.
Thank you for the question. I would say that's something we will see going forward. We haven't taken a decision on this one yet, but not necessarily, because we see also value in reporting quarterly, but that's an open point. Nope.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Yep. So maybe another question next.
We will now take our next question from John Ennis from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Okay.
Good morning. Hello, everyone. Two questions from me. The first is on group margins. The medium-term target I think you used to give in terms of EBITDA margin expansion used to be 30 bips per annum. I just wondered if you still thought this was achievable as a target going forward or whether you're stepping away from this. And then I also wanted to confirm, based on the commentary, I guess you answered to I think Ian's question earlier on in this call, is it fair to assume that if you are sticking with that as a medium-term target, that 30 bips is probably a bit too ambitious for 2018, given some of the headwinds you face in the first half? That's the first one. And then the second question is on Ontex Brazil. The business obviously faced a few challenges. I just wondered if you could say how accretive you think this deal has been now versus the double-digit accretion you guided to back in December. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So, talking about the margins, we say that over time we see us growing, having modest margin accretion over time, and we still see that happening. Obviously, we have this year some headwinds. Part of it is coming, and a big part is coming from the dilutive impact of acquisitions. If we look at our base business, I would say the historical business, we are on track with what we had in mind. When we see but we are facing some dilution from acquisitions. We also see that this year the commodities are especially negative coming against us. So that's also evolution of the market. So for 2018, more specifically, I said I'm not going to give you a specific guidance. I think what I answered to Yen earlier is valid. We see the beginning of the year still suffering, and there are no reason why it should be materially different from what it is, where we're going to end this year. Second half, we should come back into more normal type of margins for Ontex. On the Brazil and how accretive it is, obviously we see a delay, because we say the start is tougher than expected, and there is a delay in delivering the top line and also the bottom line. So we're not accretive on EPS side at the same pace as what we anticipated. It's probably going to be pushed by 1 year. Let's put it that way. As we see the startup, the real of our Brazil activities being and delayed by 1 year. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's clear.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, that is all the time we have available for questions. I would now like to hand back to Mr. Ponod for any closing remarks. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it's going to be short. I want to thank you for joining today's call, and we will next update you on our progress on March 6th with our full year 17 results. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
This concludes Ontex's third quarter 2017 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.